Expert HR Weekly, compliance, good practice and benchmarking for UK HR professionals.
Hello and welcome to Expert HR Weekly with me, Jayathira Chalvam. The Expert HR 2015 HR Roles and Responsibilities Survey suggests that HR has weathered the storm created by the recession, proving its worth by, among other things, allowing businesses to expand and contract to meet changes in demand. HR Practice Editor Noel Murphy is here to tell us more about what the survey revealed about HR budgets, the ratio of HR practitioners to employees, and the change in numbers. Hi, Noel.
Hi, Jaya.
Okay, so budgetary control and independence does say an awful lot about how a department stands in relation to others in an organisation. So what did you find out about HR budgets?
This year we had a record 354 respondents to our survey, so very healthy figure. And we found that amongst this group, just under half actually had a HR budget of its own. Now this is kind of a disappointing figure really, given that HR needs to drive change, etc. within the organisation. So to find that more than half don't have a HR budget of its own in order to monitor running costs is a little disappointing. One of the most interesting things we found, though, was that more than one in four of our respondents told us that the actual spend on HR running costs was higher than budgeted for. And when we look at HR activities, 3 in 10 spent more on HR activities than had been budgeted for.
Okay, so that's interesting. There's been an increase in HR running costs then. Is that the reason for the overspend?
Yeah, so what we do, we ask them if they have a budget, how this budget has changed, if their budget 2 years ago was actually what they did spend, and we found that 1 in 4, they had gone over budget. And then when we look at that, possibly as a reason, because they've been overspending, we found that running costs have increased. And the annual HR department running cost per employee is a median of 680. And the annual HR activities budget per employee is up around £950 per employee.
So that's for 2015. So that's obviously increased from last time we looked at those figures.
So what we do is, because this isn't always a matched sample, we ask our respondents to tell us how their budget has changed, whether it has increased, decreased or stayed the same over the past 2 years. And more than 2 in 5 tell us that the HR budget running costs has increased over the past 2 years, with just 1 in 5 reporting a decrease. Now, this is interesting and I suppose gives us an insight into the level of work that HR are involved in now within the organisation. And I think that because we've been doing this now for 13 years, we get a real sense of the complexity of the work that HR are involved in. And very much we have seen over the past few years that they have been very much involved in responding to change within the organisation and driving programmes to manage that change. In the recession, within the private sector, very much it was about downscaling number of employees. And then not only when the upturn started to come, they had to respond very quickly to that, but also there was in some areas more significant levels of change within the roles that were required. So it was more about organisational development as well as recruitment. And that's where HR had a big influence and certainly proved its worth to the organisation during that time.
Okay, so you touched on there the running costs per employee. So if we delve into that relationship in a little bit more detail, what can you tell us about the ratio of HR practitioners to employees?
Yeah, so this is one of our key metrics really, and something that we've been looking at since we first began running this survey. And the traditional figure used to be around one member of HR staff to every 100 employees. And we saw that, and that was where the figure was tracking. But then it really began to drop. And we saw that if we look at 2010, the number fell to 1 to 90, and it's settling in now at around 1 to 70. Last year it was exactly 1 to 70. This year, the median figure is 1 to 74 employees. So this is really interesting and possibly not what we would have expected, given the level of redundancies and job cuts that there would have been. You would have expected the HR function to contract alongside with the number of employees. Now, it might still be in a settling in period, we're not entirely sure, and it'll be interesting to see whether this slight increase this year is actually the start of an upward trend, or if things are going to settle in the cluster again around 1 to 70.
So you don't think there's just a lag between the HR function having to make those changes and those reductions in the number of employees.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we were saying last year and possibly the year before. Okay, so we'll wait and see, is it that HR are still in place because they're mopping up and ensuring that the organisation is in good shape, and then the axe will fall within the HR function. And again, there's been a slight increase up from 1 to 70 to 1 to 74. It'll be interesting to see again next year what happens with this figure. We have a very good sample size this year, you know, 354 HR practitioners. So we're very confident in this figure, robust sample size. So yes, going forward, what's going to happen to this, whether it's that the HR department has shown its worth and is now more involved in the organisational development.
So it could have changed its fortunes within an organisation potentially then, if it has proved its worth in that way.
Yeah, it absolutely could have. And I suppose if we look at the figures in more detail and the number of newly established HR functions, I think that's kind of indicative of the organisations realising that it needs to have its own standalone HR function in order to respond quickly to change. Not only that, but also, of course, to ensure compliance in everything. And we know auto-enrollment was a big deal for organisations, and changes to shared parental leave and all of that. All of these things that makes it more of a requirement to have a standalone HR function.
So what other observations did you pick up then in terms of the changes in numbers?
In line with everything that we've been saying, our results tell us that more than one in three organisations, the number of HR staff has increased over the past 2 years. Only one in six organisations has seen the number of HR staff decrease. And I think the rest then have seen that the numbers stay the same. But I think it's significant that that number have seen the number of HR staff increase.
And what do you think was driving that increase?
The main reason really was to meet the growing HR workload. And again, that's back to the things we were talking about. So there's the compliance stuff, there's the stuff that, you know, the organizations have to do and have to be seen to be doing and have to offer to employees. But there's also the organizational development side of things, to ensure that with a certain amount of speed or to react quickly, organizations need to have the agility to meet whatever is happening within their own economic climate within that particular time. Again, what was really interesting is the one in four that told us that the HR function was newly established. And I think we've covered the, you know, we think that's down to the fact that the importance of the HR function is now being recognised more than ever.
So perhaps there's a recognition that actually it's difficult for non-HR practitioners to provide that kind of expertise.
You know yourself, the level of detail in stuff around shared parental leave and kind of how the organisation is going to respond to it, what's it going to do in terms of pay. There's a lot more things moving quite quickly. Organisations need to be able to respond in a business sense quite quickly. So the compliance thing also needs to be picked up. And that's where somebody who has the expertise and the knowledge, but also the time, so that they don't have to dedicate their time to anything else, but that this can be their full-time role.
So that gives us some insight then into what was driving the increase in HR numbers. But you also said that there was some falls in HR numbers. So why do you think that was?
Yeah, I think something that's beginning to emerge is the role of EHR technologies. We found that the majority of those where numbers fell, it was for reasons of efficiency improvements. And most of those were driven by the use of EHR technologies. And again, where HR devolved tasks to line managers. So the EHR technologies, you know, and there's a lot more interest in HR metrics and HR data and trying to automate a lot of gathering of information. And it will be interesting to see over the next couple of years whether this is going to grow and mean a further cut in jobs for HR, or whether it's just going to become embedded within the process and they reach maximum efficiency and the figures trail off.
Okay, so the first time this year you looked at how HR actually measured their own effectiveness. So tell us what insights you discovered there.
Yeah, so there's a lot of talk around HR metrics and HR data. So we decided to ask HR respondents what they were collecting and how they were using it. And it'll come as no surprise that more than 7 in 10 collect absence management data. What is surprising is that nearly 3 in 10 aren't. So you wonder how they are in any way managing or even keeping an eye, close eye on level of absence rates, etc. Disciplinaries and grievances data. Spending against budget was third most popular. But when we asked them how they were using this data, we found that they were using it to measure their own effectiveness. So they were actually trying to provide tangible results of how well the HR function was performing. We found that spending against budget, even though it's done by almost 7 in 10, it's monitored by almost 7 in 10, it isn't actually used when it comes to measuring their effectiveness. So I think everything we've heard about budgets from this year's survey in particular, it's put budgets on the spotlight a little bit, and that they're certainly an area where HR can improve, both in managing the amount that they're spending, ensuring that it's meeting its budget. Firstly, starting with having its own budget, keeping things to budget, and then actually, as in every other area of the business, showing how their budget and their spend is improving their effectiveness.
Okay, that's really interesting then, that they are overspending and they do measure that overspend, but there's no real incentive there if they're not judged by that criterion.
The thing is, the HR is one function that measures its own effectiveness more than any other area. And, you know, we know that they're very interested in doing that. But it was just very interesting how, although 7 in 10 are using this or measuring their spend against budget, it doesn't come in the top 5 when they are ranking their effect, when they're using data to measure their effectiveness.
And why do you think that is? Do you think it's because they're relatively new at having budgetary control?
Well, obviously, I'm only speculating here, but I think possibly there's an awareness there that their budget figures aren't always their strongest area, so that they can prove their worth more easily using absence management data, staff turnover data, results of employee surveys, exit interview feedback, and possibly disciplinary and grievances data.
It's actually those things, it's very easy to see how they would represent a cost to the business as well.
Yes, so. But perhaps it's just the final step to move on to the next level in terms of where HR sits in relation to other business functions within the organisation.
Okay, so we've looked at HR metrics on this podcast, but there are two other parts of this HR roles and responsibilities survey, aren't they? So tell us about those.
Yeah, so we see this one very much as kind of setting the landscape. And we also ask, and we'll be reporting on HR priorities for organisations over the coming 12 months. And alongside that, we slice the data by effectiveness. So we identify the key characteristics as identified by HR practitioners themselves that go into making the HR function as effective as it can be. So they will be putting those together, and they will be coming live within the next few weeks on Expert HR.
And where can our listeners find them on the site?
So they will be alongside this one, which you can find under Survey Analysis.
Thanks very much, Noelle.
Thanks, Jaya.
That brings us to the end of this week's Expert HR Weekly, which you've been listening to with me, Jaya Thiruchelvam. We're back next Friday, but until then, it's goodbye from us.
Expert HR Weekly, the latest from experthr.co.uk, the award-winning subscription service for HR professionals.